Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 9th, 2019. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to be looking at God's Word again on the screen. You're going to be seeing it, but before I show you that, it's going to go back to the time of the resurrection. Because I want to remind you, as if you need a reminding, that our God is in control of everything, and if he wants to use some visual aids, some audiovisual aids, he'll do that. He doesn't need electricity or a screen or a projector, or he doesn't need an organ. He has control over all creation, every aspect down to the finest detail. And so you're going to see again on the screen how one filmmaker said, oh, this might be how it happened that the resurrection occurred. And you see that God's word with the angel coming down, removing the stone, then Jesus appearing to them. Then you're going to see again how God, the Holy Spirit, came as promised. And how right up until that moment, people were starting to kind of wondering, what's going on here? So please now give your attention to the screen as we start with a prayer that was written quite some time ago. May the very God of all things, who spoke by the Holy Spirit through the prophets and sent him forth upon the apostles in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, send him forth now on you also. May he guard us through the Spirit, imparting his bounty in common to all of us so as to always put on display the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gracious love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, mildness, purity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through Christ and with him, together with the Holy Spirit, be glory to the Father now and always and forever and ever. Amen. A prayer written by a pastor by the name of Cyril of Jerusalem, who wrote the prayer between 315 and 387. Let's now remind ourselves of the great joy that we have as Christians. Takes your breath away. What in the world was God doing? He was using all sorts of visual aids, wasn't he? At the resurrection of Jesus, he shook the planet, sent down an angel. The soldier dropped over dead. No, they wanted to be dead. They just fainted dead away is what they happened. And they're scared out of their minds. Roman soldiers are never scared of anything. And one angel rolls back the stone. Jesus comes back to life again. He shows himself again and again to his disciples. For 40 days, he's doing miracles and preaching and teaching. And what happens? Even on the day of his ascension, we're told that while he ascended to heaven, as they're watching it with their own eyes, some did not believe. Really? I mean, you and I would give our right arms, our right legs for a moment to actually see Jesus, right? And yet while they were seeing him, some did not believe because their faith is not based on what you see and what you hear with noises and what you feel in your heart. Your faith is based on something that is much more powerful. God's word was given an incredible amount of power. The Holy Spirit came and filled those men with himself and every believer thereafter. You and I, when we were baptized, the Holy Spirit took up his residence inside of us. He did it very quietly. No big rumbling of the building, no big splash of fire from the skies, no automatic growing up and being able to talk in languages you never learned. But he graciously gave a tremendous amount of power. And what did they do? They preached God's word to people who are out to kill them and hurt them and defame them. What's up with that? Weren't these the same disciples who were scared, locked away in a room because they were afraid they're going to kill them just like they killed Jesus? Yeah, it's the same guys. Peter, James, John, all the rest. But what happened? Jesus is the God who keeps his promises. And he had promised to send the Holy Spirit. And this was the day in which he did it. Now, on the one hand, that makes us who are Christians really happy that God keeps his promises. On the other hand, if you know the scriptures, you know that that's not necessarily good news, is it? God says, the soul that sins shall die. God says, who can come into his presence? Only the one with clean lips and a pure heart, who plots no evil against his neighbor. God says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says, there is no difference. All have sinned. So as I'm talking to you, listen, please. You do not deserve to heaven. You don't deserve to go there. I don't deserve to go there. No matter how much Hebrew and Greek I learn, no matter how many sermons I preach, no matter how many Bible studies I put, that does not count at all. You and I are sinners through and through. The message of the prophets was repent. The message of John the Baptizer was repent. You know what the scripture says the message of Jesus Christ was? Repent. What's the message of the disciples when they're out there and they're filled with the Holy Spirit? They said, guess what? You're the sinners. You put him on the cross. You killed him with your sins. Repent. It's really important that we recognize sin for what it is. It's not just a heartache. No. Sin is rebellion against God. And God says, you can't come into my heaven. Not if you're kicking and screaming and fighting against me. No way. In my heaven are God's holy people. And you and I need to understand that we, by our nature, are not going to make it there. That's real. So if you've ever had a bad thought about somebody, you ever want someone to have bad stuff happen to them because they hurt you, God says, you don't get in. Ever have a lust thought, a dirty thought? Ever want to really just ream out somebody because they hurt your feelings or they trespass on your spot? You don't get in. The Lord says, you and I need to see what sin is. It's not just a play-around thing. It's not a thing that I can play with and put it aside. No, it is infecting our entire being. The heart is incurable, the scriptures say. There is no cure for us. When you understand that, when you understand that you and I are lost, then God says, I have some news for you. I know that you're lost. And I love you so much, I want you with me in heaven. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come down and become one of you. I'm going to live underneath my own rules, but I'm going to keep them. And so Jesus was born in the place where he was said he was going to be born. And Jesus came to life again, just like he did on the third day. And Jesus ascended to heaven, where he right now is pleading with the Father, defending us who trust in him. Jesus said, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It's not about my performance. It's not about my pedigree. My parents and my grandparents were Christians. None of that. It's about who Jesus is and his great love for me. So now when you and I see a sin in our own lives, then we say, I don't want that there. It makes us really mad. that Satan has such a wicked thing on us. But the Lord says, stand up to Satan, and he has to flee from you. The Lord promises to give strength to handle every temptation that comes our way. So he tells us to believe and obey him. He says, proclaim the truth that God, for Jesus' sake, has set us free. That's the good news. That's what fills us every day. That's how come we continue to gather here, Sunday after Sunday, week in and week out, year in, year out. Why is that? Because we are sinners who need to hear that we have been saved. Satan is doing everything possible to erase that. He's trying to get everybody to think, well, it just matters, just be better than the other guy. And then God will look down and say, oh, that's a good boy. No, God does not do that. God says, my standard is perfection. You're messing around with some kind of pet sin, you don't get in. You are not perfect. How do you do that? How do I get in? The Lord says, I am so much at fault with him that by nature I am his enemy. I have gouged out my own eyes, and I am dead. I'm a carcass, rotting. I cannot even believe. So you know what God does? He gives us his word, and his word does an incredible thing. It brings us to life. People hear it, and they believe. They set aside what they're doing, and they follow Jesus. You take that word and you connect it to water, and God creates faith in little babies. How awesome is that? And then that faith is strengthened our whole life long. God connects his word to bread and wine, and he gives us all of himself, all of Jesus. What a great God we serve. What a powerful gift he's given to us. Use it. When's the last time you opened up your Bible? Don't raise your hand. When's the last time you opened up your Bible and read it just for fun? Because you want to know what God's doing a little bit better. When's the last time you opened up your Bible and saw something there and said, you know, I really got to work on that? Or do you fall into the trap that Satan places out there? Well, I read my Bible and you got to do that. I read my Bible and you got to do that. I read my Bible and you have to do that. No. God gives us his word so that we can understand, put aside our sin, and trust him. So in Jesus' name, do that. And do that this week. Amen.